الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي هدانا إلى خير الأديان وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله فنحمد الله سبحانه وتعالى كلما يحمده الحامدون ونشكره شكرا جميلا كلما يشكره الشاكرون أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن أحسن قولا ممن دعا إلى الله وعمل صالحا وقال إنني من المسلمين صدق الله العظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الراحمون يرحمهم الرحمن تبارك وتعالى ارحموا من في الأرض يرحمكم من في السماء أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام Respected elders, brothers, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who out of His kindness and His mercy has blessed us with various different favors. If we really have to analyze all the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will really be impossible for us to count each and every favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah has blessed us with. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in Quran, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you try and count the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will not be able to do so. Amongst the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us from the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a great favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without any application, without any request, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen us to be in the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with iman. There are many people in the world that are walking around, and if they have to pass away without iman, then their fate is sealed for the rest of time. But if we have to pass away with iman, if a person has to pass away with iman, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will favor this person in the akhirat, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take him into Jannah eventually. If we as Muslims have to analyze the situation of the Muslims throughout the world, whether it is locally, whether it is globally, we find that the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on a national as well as an international platform, there is problems that is facing the ummah from all fronts. It literally brings a pain to the heart and tears to the eyes when you really look at what the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is undergoing in these times. From every corner of the world, you will hear sad news coming about the state of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The question we have to ask ourselves is that the Quran of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that is present amongst us. The ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is with us. What is it then that is lacking within the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that has caused the ummah to reach such situations and such low times, such low situations and such trying times? What has caused it? We find if you look in history, we will see that prior to us, the Sahaba, the Tabi'een, etc., all those before us, they had the Quran, they had the Sunnah, they had the Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it is the same thing that we have. But yet they had reached various heights in the world, and they had ruled majority, and they had ruled a great part of the world at the time. So the question that is being asked, or the question that we have to ask, is what is different? What have they done, or what did they do that perhaps we are not doing? Or what is lacking in our lives that was foremost in their lives? It is time that we need to make this introspection, and not only sit with the results of it, but time to go forward and act on what we find is lacking in the ummah. We find in the lives of Sahaba, radhiyallahu ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, one thing that was very common and was very prevalent in the lives of Sahaba was the aspect of striving for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inviting people towards the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, moving to the four corners of the world solely for the pleasure of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the upliftment of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu an travels all the way to China for one reason only, with two other companions. He travels all the way to China to spread the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find Tufayl ibn Amr al-Dawsi radiallahu an, he comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's a lengthy incident. Eventually he comes and he accepts Islam at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he goes back home and he makes an effort amongst his people. He works with his tribe, the Dawes tribe. And later on he comes with his entire tribe to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they have all brought iman. And amongst the people of this tribe was Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu an, who is one of the foremost narrators of the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the region of 5,374 ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu an, all through the da'wat and the invitation and the effort for the upliftment of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by Hazrat Tufayl ibn Amr al-Dawsi radiallahu an. And like that we find this was common amongst all the sahaba, that like somebody explained it once, that our situation and the situation of the sahaba, that if a person in our times comes to the masjid and somebody goes to his house and knocks at his door and he asks the people of the house, where is so and so? They will say, no, he is gone to the masjid. When will he return? Namaz is 1:30, he should be back by 1:45, 1:50. They went to somebody else's house, they knock at his house, where is this person gone? Say, no, he's gone to work, he's gone to his job. When will he return? He said, no, we don't know whether he will return today or not, or we don't know what time he will return. Perhaps there is some urgent need that comes about that he needs to travel out of the country or within the country, so he will leave state from there and go. In the time of Sahaba, somebody knocked at the door of the Sahabi's house and he asked, where is so and so? He said, no, he's gone to the market. When will he return? He only has to buy X, Y, Z, a few items, he'll be back in a few minutes, 15, 20 minutes, he'll be back. Someone knocks at the house of another Sahabi, where is this person? No, he's gone to the masjid. When will he return? We don't know if he will return. Perhaps in the masjid, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after the salah, will make an announcement that there is a need for a jama'at to go out in this corner or that corner, and he will leave straight from the masjid in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a vast, a stark difference between us and the Sahaba radhiyallahu ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, that they were ready at any time to go out and present the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to invite towards the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is an amal, this is an action that each and every one of us has to bring into our lives, because each and every one of us is responsible. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, "Ala kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'oolun an ra'iyatihi." That every one of you is a shepherd, and every one of you is responsible for his flock. A teacher in his class, an imam with his congregation, a father with his children, a mother with the children, we are all responsible. So we have to make an effort with all those around us to spread the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because this is the very reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you and I, that is, the best of ummah. We like the title. Everybody likes titles. This is a title given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that O ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are the best of ummahs, the best of nations. Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat lin-nas, ta'muruna bil ma'ruf wa tanhawna 'anil munkar wa tu'minuna billah. Because you will invite towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will stop people from doing evil deeds, and you will invite towards good. This is the very reason Umar radiallahu anhu said that any person who wishes to have this title, man sarrahu ay yakuna min tilka al-ummah, if you want to be from this ummah, that is the best of ummah, فَلْيُؤَدِّ شَرْطَ اللَّهِ فِيهَا, then ensure that you fulfill the condition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has laid therein. And the condition Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made is that you fulfill the job of Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar. In other words, invite people towards the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Umar radiallahu anhu further goes on as a warning. He mentions that وَمَنْ لَمْ يَتَّصِفْ بِذَٰلِكَ, whoever doesn't fulfill the shart of Allah, the condition of Allah in this ayat, أَشْبَهَ أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ, then he resembles the people of the book. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about them in the Quran, where Allah says, كَانُوا لَا يَتَنَاهَوْنَ عَمْ مُنْكَرٍ فَعَلُوا, they never used to stop people from doing evil when they saw evil being prevalent amongst them. So this is the one benefit of doing Amr bil Ma'ruf, inviting towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and stopping from evil, that we are fulfilling the very reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this title. Another reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Quran, Allah ta'ala says in Quran, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. And let there be a group amongst the believers who will invite towards good and who will forbid from evil. And this group, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ, this is a group that will be successful. This is a group that will have success in this world and in the life of Akhirat. This is a group that will enjoy success. They will enjoy comfort. They will enjoy it in this world also. And they will enjoy it in the Akhirat also. We find in the lives of Sahaba, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in, turn the pages of history and look at what was the life of Sahaba prior to Islam, prior to them fulfilling this responsibility of taking the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then turn the pages later to the life of Umar, to the Khilafat of Umar radiallahu anhu, successes they made, and what strides and to where they took the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Furthermore, this inviting towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a means of saving ourselves from destruction. And in one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that there are two groups of people that have boarded a ship. Some have taken the upper deck of the ship, others have taken the lower deck of the ship. Now the people of the lower deck of the ship say that whenever we need to have water, then we need to trouble the people of the upper deck. Why don't we dig a hole or make a hole at the bottom of the ship here, and we will have plenty of water for ourselves. If the people of the upper deck come to know about this and do not stop them, what will be the end result of the people of that ship? They will be destroyed, they will be drowned. Similarly, as ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever we find anything, then it is the duty of each and every one of us, not specifically the duty of one group or the duty of one imam. It is the duty of each and every reciter of La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that whenever he sees anything wrong taking place, or whenever he sees an opportunity to invite somebody towards the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then immediately he takes up that opportunity and invites people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the fear is that if this is not done, then like the people of the ship, we will be destroyed. Each and every person, as we mentioned, has a responsibility. Each and every one of us, a father with his children, and us amongst as family members with our siblings, a community with the community members, each and every one of us has a responsibility. And that responsibility is to ensure that whenever we see something or whenever we can, then we spread the message of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We stop evil from taking place and we spread the message of good. This is the responsibility of each and every one of us. And amongst the ulama mentioned that amongst the most effective or the very effective ways of fulfilling this responsibility that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed on our shoulders is to follow the tarteeb of Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas Sahab rahmatullah alayhi in the way that he has formulated this work of effort and of Dawat and Tabligh some 90 years ago. If you follow this tarteeb, it's a very easy, effective method so that in inviting people towards the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the entire object of this Dawat and Tabligh is to bring alive in every city, in the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if a person went into the masjid, then there was some activity of deen taking place. If a prisoner was caught, then he was brought to the masjid. If there was some welfare to be distributed, it was done from the masjid. Every activity of deen, whether it was the halqa of dhikr, whether it was the learning and teaching of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all this took place from the masjid. And what is the condition of our masajid today? 15-20 minutes after the salah is finished, the masjid is locked. In fact, in some places, we see that the masjid will be opened 15 minutes before adhan and closed 15 minutes after salah. Why? Because our masjids are not alive with the a'mal of the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the object of da'wat and tabligh is to bring alive our masajid. And when we bring alive our masajid, then our entire community with the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was taking place in our town in Pietermaritzburg. And we have come, 13 or 14 ulama have come from Pietermaritzburg to give this invitation for this ijtima in the Durban area, that we request each and every one of you to avail yourselves on that weekend of the 22nd, 23rd and 24th of September and come to the ijtima in Pietermaritzburg. And the whole object of this ijtima is to physically show us, what is that example that was found in the life of in the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we see this physical model in front of us, then it will lead us to making tawbah and seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that where we're supposed to be and where we are. So our istima will be taking place. A humble request is made to each and every one of us to free ourselves for that weekend, and not only us, to bring our relatives, to bring our brothers, our cousins, etc., to this istima. We'll all do this, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq.